cabbage fields and neat little kingdoms whose boundaries riddled like snakes as small, formal wars, marriage pacts, complex alliances, and the occasional bit of sloppy cartography changed the political shape of the land. "This king," said Mort, as a forest zipped beneath them, "is he good or bad?"
"I never concern myself with such things," said Death. "He's no worse than any other king, I imagine."
"Does he have people put to death?" said Mort, and remembering who he was talking to, added, "saving your honour's presence, of course."
"Sometimes. There are some things you have to do when you're a king."
A city slid below them, clustered around a castle built on a rock outcrop that poked up out of the plain like a geological pimple. It was one huge rock from the distant ramtops, Death said, left there by the retreating ice in the legendary days when the ice giants waged war on the gods and rode their glaciers across the land in an attempt to freeze the whole world. They'd given up in the end, however, and driven their great glittering flocks back to their hidden lands amongst the razorbacked mountains near the hub. No one on the plains knew why they'd done this. It was generally considered by the younger generation in the city of Sto Lat, the city around the rock, that this was because the place was dead boring. Binky trotted down over nothingness and touched down on the flagstones of the castle's topmost tower. Death dismounted and told Mort to sort out the nosebag. "Won't people notice there's a horse up here?" he said as they strolled to a stairwell. Death shook his head.
"Would you believe there could be a horse at the top of this tower?" he said.
"No, you couldn't get one up the stairs," said Mort.
"Well then."
"Oh, I see. People don't want to see what can't possibly exist."
"Well done."
Now they were walking away along a wide corridor hung with tapestries. Death reached into his robe and pulled out an hourglass, peering closely at it in the dim light. It was a particularly fine one, its glass cut into intricate facets and imprisoned in an ornate framework of wood and brass. The words, "King Olav the Bastard," were engraved deeply into it. The sand inside sparkled oddly. There wasn't a lot left. Death hummed to himself and stowed the glass away in whatever mysterious recess it had occupied. They turned a corner and hit a wall of sound. There was a hall full of people there, under a cloud of smoke and chatter that rose all the way up into the banner-haunted shadows in the roof. Up in a gallery, a trio of minstrels were doing their best to be heard and not succeeding. The appearance of Death didn't cause much of a stir. A footman by the door turned to him, opened his mouth, and then frowned in a distracted way and thought of something else. A few courtiers glanced in their direction, their eyes instantly unfocusing as common sense overruled the other five.
"We've got a few minutes," said Death, taking a drink from a passing tray. "Let's mingle."
"They can't see me either," said Mort, "but I'm real."
"Reality is not always what it seems," said Death. "Anyway, if they don't want to see me, they certainly don't want to see you. These are aristocrats, boy. They're good at not seeing things. Why is there a cherry on a stick in this drink?"
"Mort," said Mort automatically.
"It's not as if it does anything for the flavour. Why does anyone take a perfectly good drink and then put in a cherry on a pole?"
"What's going to happen next?" said Mort. An elderly earl bumped into his elbow, looked everywhere but directly at him, shrugged, and walked away.
"Take these things now," said Death, fingering a passing canapé. "I mean, mushrooms, yes. Chicken, yes. Cream, yes. I've nothing against any of them, but why in the name of sanity mince them all up and put them in little pastry cases?"
"Pardon?" said Mort.
"That's mortals for you," Death continued. "They've only got a few years in this world and they spend them all in making things complicated for themselves. Fascinating. Have a gherkin."
"Where's the king?" said Mort, craning to look over the heads of the court.
"Chap with the golden beard," said Death.
He tapped a flunky on the shoulder, and as the man turned and looked around in puzzlement, deftly piloted another drink from his tray. Mort cast around until he saw the figure standing in a little group in the centre of the crowd, leaning over slightly the better to hear what a rather short courtier was saying to him. He was a tall, heavily built man, with the kind of stolid, patient face that one would confidently buy a used horse from.
"He doesn't look like a bad king," said Mort. "Why would anyone want to kill him?"
"See the man next to him, with the little moustache and the grin like a lizard?" Death pointed with his scythe.
"Yes."
"His cousin, the Duke of Sto Helit. Not the nicest of..."